All right, we'll call the meeting of the Development Review Board to order. Would you please call the roll?
Sure. Chairman Martin?
Here.
Ms. McColl?
Here.
Ms. Fishman?
Here.
Mr. Crosby?
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Here.
Ms. Kilbride? Mr. Siegel? We have quorum.
So the first matter on the agenda this evening is to review and approve the minutes of our meeting on May 6th. Has everybody had an opportunity to review these? Anybody want to make a motion to approve them?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? You want to call the roll, please?
Sure. Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. McColl?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passed.
All right. The next matter on the agenda is a pre-filing conference for the River Forest Library and their proposed application. If you've heard this before, I apologize. There is no application on file. We have nothing to vote on tonight. What we want the applicant or the proposed applicant to do is to make a brief presentation to us about the application, what they're intending to do, what they would like to do. And then we as a board will give you some input on matters that we would want to make sure are dealt with in the application so that the whole process can go as quickly as possible when you file an application. So whoever's going to address us, whoever's going to speak to us tonight, I think first everybody should stand.
Do you want them sworn in for the public hearing as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you plan on testifying at the public hearing, I would ask you to stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matters before the Development Review Board?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, then. Mrs. Hill, or someone on behalf of the library, if you want to step up the podium and introduce yourself, please, and go ahead and make your presentation.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Okay. I am Emily Compton-Zack. I'm the library director at the River Forest Public Library. Thank you very much for your time tonight and for letting me introduce our project to you. The River Forest Comprehensive Plan notes the need for the library to better serve the community by working to meet the growing demand for meeting and activity space, which is our ultimate goal with our plan development application. The library has one meeting room. The Barbara Hall meeting room is typically in near constant use for both library programs and public meetings. In 2019, the library had to deny 150 meeting room requests from the public because the room was in use, and we anticipate high demand once COVID restrictions are lifted. Public space is a scarce resource in River Forest, and we are excited by the opportunity to create more. The library's air handler unit, that's why we're here tonight, is located in an interior north mechanical room adjacent to the children's room. The unit is due for replacement. Working with an engineering firm, we determined that it is feasible to install a new air handler unit to the library's exterior. Relocating the air handler would allow River Forest to reclaim just under 400 square feet of community space. In your packet, just after our pre-filing application document, there's a document marked New Plan, and that shows you the what I'm going to talk about next. The new air handler unit is 8 feet by 13 feet and would be installed on a concrete pad and enclosed in both a metal enclosure and a masonry enclosure. And altogether, that requires 400 square feet of space off the northeast side of the library building, which is the Centennial Park side. The unit's decibel range ranges from 49 to 80, and at its lowest, that's about what a residential refrigerator sounds like. At 60 is equivalent to that of a residential air conditioner, 70 a vacuum cleaner, and 80 is a garbage disposal. And the double enclosure of the metal enclosure and the masonry wall would muffle that noise as well. The masonry wall will be 16 feet by 25 feet and placed on a 1 foot wide, 42 inch deep concrete footer. And the brick wall would be in keeping with the library's facade. We do have some brick samples if you'd like to look at those. I can pass them around if you'd like. In your packet, there is a rendering of what it would look like that was passed the next page past the drawing page. So we're hoping to start the project in mid-September because that's ideal open window weather. It's the ideal temperature to turn the air handler off for replacement. It is estimated to take 6 to 8 weeks for the entire project to be completed in November. We have presented our plan and discussed it with the River Forest Park District as the property owners, and they have expressed their support and have agreed to allow the library to act as the interested agent in order to file the plan development permit application. On April 28th, we held a neighbors meeting about the project. We did not have any attendees. Our pre-filing conference application in your packet has one waiver request for number 12, a professional traffic study showing a proposed traffic circulation pattern, because we do not believe our project will affect the traffic flow in the area. Do you have any questions, or would you like to see the brick samples?
You know, I think I just couldn't hear it correctly. What was the reason you decided to start the project at the end of summer?
Oh, because we need to turn the air handler off for a couple of days, so we just need the weather to be milder.
Okay. So if I could just make one point for the DRB members and for anyone who's standing at the podium. We have some participants who are here remotely. And so in order for them to hear you, if you could try to speak into the microphone.
Oh.
So we just want to let everybody know. So you should have,
see, there I was not on the microphone. Sorry about that. So you press the button in front of you. If it doesn't light up red, it may be that the light doesn't work. But if it's red, it means you have a hot mic in front of you. Anyway, thank you.
I have a question about when I'm looking at this rendering. I'm assuming that I'm looking this north.
That is north.
This is north. So when you enter the library right now,
mm-hmm.
you're entering from the west side?
Correct.
Right? So is this the door right here?
That's an exit from the children's side of the, that's not the front door of the library.
Right. So I was having a hard time understanding this layout.
It might be easier to see on the rendering sheet right there.
This is the proposed new part.
It is.
Yes,
sorry,
you're
I'm
nodding.
Trying to
think. I'll put this up on the TV monitor about right there. And that's where the air conditioning is going to go.
Right, so the air handling unit will be inside that shorter masonry wall next to the library.
I think you're looking.
Yeah, so right now we're looking south.
Yeah.
At it.
Do I have my directions wrong?
No,
sorry.
No. Okay. Right. But they are looking south.
You're looking south, yes.
Right. So this was the harder one that we...
Yeah, that one was... It's harder to get a read on. I just wanted you to see how big the unit would be. Sorry.
All right, any other questions about this? All right, so you touched on a few things that I was concerned about, but when you file the application, I'd like to make sure that you address, you don't own the property.
Correct.
So I'd like to see, to make sure you have a lease with the owner that permits you to install this for whatever the period of time is on the lease.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure you address the safety of this installation. Whether or not, you know, somebody, you know, there are a lot of kids that use this park. Are there, you know, are there, you think there's going to be kids that climb over this to look at the installation, or is there going to be a roof on it or something so kids can't get in there? I think we, you know, need to have some information from you about the noise and how that noise might impact either patrons in the library or people who are using the park. And it appears that the construction is going to be very near to a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we ought to, you know, we want to know how this construction is going to impact the root system of this tree and ultimately the tree itself. So those are the items that are important to me for you to make sure that you identify and talk about in the application.
Okay.
I also just wanted to ask, the brick sample you have, does that match the existing structure, or is this as close as you can get?
These are the samples. We're hoping to match that. that side of the library, because
yeah.
the older side has different brick, but the side that it's next to.
And you've got your materials with you tonight, but you need to bring those back when you are here for a hearing on your application.
Yep.
Any other questions? All right, they've asked for a waiver of one of the application requirements for the waiver of the professional traffic study. Somebody want to make a motion to grant that waiver?
I'll move to grant the waiver.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Okay, I'm going to call the roll.
Sure. Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. McColl?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, that's it. That's all we have for you tonight.
Thank you.
The staff will go over the whatever you file. When they determine that the application is complete, then we will talk about scheduling a hearing. Hopefully we can do it within the time frame that you're talking about, but at this point it's up to you to get the application on file and make sure the application is complete.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming tonight. All right, so the next thing on our agenda this evening is Trinity. Trinity's been through this pre-filing conference. Now they've got an application on file, and we're going to ask Trinity to present their application for the amendment to the existing building. Whomever is going to do the presentation, if you come up to the podium and introduce yourself, and let's go ahead.
Frank, if you don't mind, there's just one thing I wanted to read. I didn't read it when we administered the oath. And since this is part of the public hearing, it's just the standard language that we provide at the beginning of every hearing, that to those who will testify at the public hearing, you're reminded that River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine.
So tell the truth.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm Sheena Keith. I'm the Vice President for Institutional Advancement at Trinity High School. On Zoom, we have our President, Laura Curley, and also with Trinity, we have our CFO, Jill Watts. Thank you for your time tonight. Trinity High School would like to install a new elevator, build a link from our academic building to our gym, and create an enclosed courtyard. And so I'm just going to hand it over to our owner's rep and our architect team to kind of walk through the next steps of this process.
So thank you everyone for coming today. So we're here, I guess Sheena's already kind of described the project that we have at hand. So I guess we're here for just to open up any questions. We're answering the questions that we have.
Well, you submitted this application, and you can, it's usually a good assumption that we've looked at it, but I think at this point, rather than ask for questions, you want to present the application. Whatever you presented at the pre-filing conference is not on the record. You know, we don't have any idea whether this application varies from what you presented at the pre-filing conference. So we're looking for some more information about the project from you.
I don't believe that there's any deviation from the original presentation that was given. I have brought the presentation again if someone wants to review it the second time.
Well, but you remember the initial presentation doesn't count. It's not part of the record.
So would you like me to get a PowerPoint out and show you that building? Okay.
If you think that would help, that would be fine.
I'd be happy to do that. I just want to make sure I have the right pieces to do so. Give me a minute to set it up. I presume I use this.
Okay.
go. Okay. Plug it in. I think the battery's just coming up. It's coming up. So I'll just get my password in and we'll be going. Don't you love technology when you want to use it? You want to do that?
Yeah, happy to.
Let me get this up. Yes, look for Trinity on that.
Thank you.
She's pulling up right now.
Okay.
The PowerPoint. Oh,
okay. Sure. Great. So, ready? I'll start with the plan view. You will see that what's being developed here is a link that's going to join Building 11, which is denoted as the gym. And that what's being created is a link to the existing building, which will now allow people to go inside from the existing building to the gym. There's an outside space that will be created for social space or classroom space and the like. And there's a wall that creates a separation from that and the balance of the space, which is the parking. There's also access to over here to what will be now the auditorium. And there's a ramp, which now allows that to be an ADA accessible situation there. So it's really making tremendous improvements to the connectivity of all the parts of the building for anyone who's disabled and creates that valuable outdoor space we all know is now more of a necessity than ever. Let me find you some drawings of this. So this is a visual that is a shot from the parking lot looking towards this space. What's not quite in view on the left is the gym, and then beyond the right of that tree is really the central entry point that's now newly created. You'll see there's a beautiful fence with a stone element in the center, which gives you a sense of identity for the school, as also and also gives you a visual interplay between what's in the courtyard and what's out beyond it. This is another view for you of what's being developed as you look at the interior courtyard space toward that new entry. So the vertical link you see on the far right includes the elevator, which now allows ADA access to all the floors, including the lower level, which is a phenomenal improvement. And the link obviously comes over to this gym, which allows you to pass through entirely from one building to the other. There's a green roof on the just above this entry point, which is a very sustainable feature. And there's some extremely capable and I think sensitive things relative to insulation and sustainable measures as well as we try to put this together. This is not in there now.
No.
Okay, we simplified that greatly. So that's an initial presentation, and you've just seen what that looks like. Is there anything else I should show here? The link addition?
Thank you. Can I
just preview it? Want me to do this one?
No, it's the one above.
Would you find what you want me to see?
So these are just existing images that you can see of the gym and the academic building. And here's the gym again. And then once you look at this area right here, that's the location where the new addition is being added. And the major, addition that this project really adds is the horizontal and the vertical access to universal design between the two buildings, and being able to provide students that flexibility of being able to access the building very easily between the two. And you can see here, too, how the new design kind of respects what is already in terms of context of the gym building and the brick building. And we're trying to take a modern look at what the new addition would be, but still be respectful of what's already out there to create a balance.
In addition, this came up in our neighbors' meeting that there are a precarious set of stairs there, and in the winter time when we have the River Forest Park District basketball season come through, that this addition will significantly improve that entry point. We could have them come in the main entrance and have sufficient signage to direct them into the gyms that they would be using for the basketball program.
What other questions can we answer for you?
I guess I have a few questions about the materials. So
sure.
The gymnasium is built out of precast concrete.
Right.
Is that right? So what's the addition? Is that to match the precast?
No, it is not precast. It is an EIFA system that's currently proposed and being priced.
Okay. And so where the connection where the addition touches the existing gymnasium, so you're going to have the precast concrete there, and then you'll have this EIFS touching at that point, correct? So is your goal to match the look and the finish, the color of the precast concrete?
Yes, it is. We brought a sample with us, but we need to do a color correction on it because we do indeed want it to match. That is the intent. If you go back to the visual play of it, the idea is that it's a seamless transition from one to the other.
And so, I guess, can you just tell me the system that you're using for the addition? Is it a rigid insulation that is applied to the outside of the building, and then you do your coats of stucco on top of that? Just kind of.
If you need a detail, I can show you those in the construction documents. I can provide a section for you if you want to see that detail.
So it's a direct applied system, and I'm going to pull up the wall section for it so that you're able to see a little more detail.
The reason
can
I bring...
Can you speak up just a little bit?
I'm sorry. I was saying it's a direct applied system, and I'm just pulling up the details for it so that you're able to see. And we also have a sample.
Okay. So I guess where I'm going with this is that, a system like this with a school, in particular with students, can get dented and beat up really fast because it's really it's just rigid insulation, and then you have stucco that's applied to the outside. So with it coming all the way down to grade, I would talk to the manufacturer, and if there are certain levels of strength that you can add to the system so that it can withstand students taking a baseball bat to it. You know, it's just one of those systems that can look really bad really fast. And so it's going to cost you more money, but you need to upgrade to a system like that, or else you're going to be unhappy in about a year's time. Okay. So I understand why you wouldn't go with the precast. It's going to be significantly more expensive. For a large building like that, the precast makes sense.
It's a little logistically difficult in the sliver of that connection as well.
I'm sorry?
Precast would be more difficult within the confines of that section as well.
So I do get that, but I think the key is that you really got to try hard to get this to match to the eye. It's not.
Absolutely.
I would prefer that it not actually touch, because that's where you'll see the difference between the two.
Yeah.
If you had a glass wall where you're just visually trying to compare things that are not touching each other,
you can
pull it off a little bit easier that way.
One thing that we're in agreement with your point in terms of the durability of the EFIS. However, given the project budget and also the logistics of timeline, this was the best solution. But we do also want to point out that with the way it's laid out, the landscape supports a little bit in terms of interaction of how somebody approaches the building. So you can see that some of the spaces that are green that are right up adjacent to the facade are green spaces, and they're more landscape spaces. So we don't anticipate a lot of students going up to it. However, that's not to say that they wouldn't, but we're trying to, you know, kind of be strategic about this by design so that we avoid students approaching it. Also, there is an existing transformer right here. So that being a hindrance in that space right there also prohibits them to be accessing the facade there.
So really then you're just looking at that entryway
off
of the courtyard, which is a glass partition mostly. You have some on the sides there, but
So you're not seeing much activity right by the facade, and that was also one of the reasons we proposed the system, because we knew that the landscape can kind of, you know, help and strategize that challenge that comes with the material.
Good.
That's your presentation?
Yes. Leanne Meyer-Smith is no longer with the firm, so I'm the replacement. So, and Justin Ilk, who's very involved with this, as is Divya, is on vacation this week. So I apologize for any little encumbrances here in getting this more directly to you. We're very excited about the project. I think it solves a lot of major problems with ADA and linkage and making a much more equitable situation for all the students.
Okay, if that completes your presentation, thank you. And we will now ask the secretary to summarize the village comments on this from the police to the fire and the public works department.
Sure, we also have the village's planning consultant who will provide his report. Yeah,
we'll
after staff, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. So as you see in your agenda packet, there is a report from the village's operating department. What I would note is within the public safety department, there is no need to purchase any additional equipment, any specialized equipment. There's no need to hire additional staff. The departments can each support the proposed addition to Trinity High School without incurring any additional costs. They also note, the fire department also notes that there will be a sprinkler system installed in this, and so they're very comfortable with where this is at in terms of their design. The village engineer has received full civil drawings submitted by the applicant and has no comments regarding the proposed plan development. This particular applicant has been given the ability at their own risk to dual track building permits and zoning entitlement with the understanding that they have no guarantee of zoning approval, but given that they're an institutional partner and are trying to complete the project this summer, we gave them the ability to submit their building permit early. And so, again, that permit would not be issued absent zoning entitlement, and the DRB is under no obligation to provide that, or the board is under no obligation to provide an approval, but we're just, you know, we try to work with our institutional partners and be flexible and reasonable. That being said, again, the village engineer has had a very high level of review at this stage, which he doesn't typically have because it wouldn't be required for zoning entitlement, but he has no concerns about the project. The Public Works Director noted that the applicant is planning to remove trees as part of this project, and the village's landscape requirements require that trees be replaced on a caliper inch by caliper inch basis. So they have identified that based on the tree removal, the size of the tree, and the assessment of the tree, they would need to plant 14 trees on the property or pay a fee in lieu of replacement in the amount of $4,447.57 for the total value of the trees that are removed. And again, this is based on appraisals for the existing trees. The applicant does plan to plant trees. They are included in the landscape plan. So they are planting some trees, but they are not planting 14 trees. And so they are asking that they be given some consideration for the fact that they're planting some and that the fee in lieu of planting be reduced commensurate with the amount of the value of the trees that will be replaced. So the Public Works Director has assessed the landscape plan and determined that the value of the tree to be replaced that will be planted, is $1,000. And so the applicant has asked to be allowed to reduce the fee in lieu by $1,000 in consideration for the fact that they are replacing some trees on the property, but they can't meet it on a caliper inch by caliper inch basis. So let me know if you don't follow. So when you take a look at the administration and building comments, there is a recommendation that if the DRB considers approval for this application, they do so with the conditions that the application be built in substantial compliance with the approved plans and that the petitioner comply with the landscape requirements of section 1024 of the zoning ordinance. And that section of the zoning ordinance is really what I was just talking about with the tree replacement.
What is the number of trees that they're proposing? You said 14, right?
They're proposing to plant two trees. Yes. Three. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Removing three, adding two.
Okay, somehow.
So when we say caliper inch by caliper inch, which we really mean is we take tape measure and put it around the width of the tree, and that's the caliper inch size of the tree. And so based on that, they would have to plant 14 trees on the property or pay a fee in lieu.
Okay.
When the property isn't large enough or maybe the landscaping is mature enough that it wouldn't support additional trees, they can pay that fee in lieu. And so what they're saying is they want to split the difference a little bit. They'll plant some trees, but they can't plant 14 trees. So they'll pay a fee in lieu, but they're asking that it be reduced in consideration for the fact that there will be some trees planted as part of the project. And the village doesn't have an issue with this. It's ultimately the DRB's recommendation and the village board's approval, but staff is comfortable that this appears to be a pretty reasonable request. And so that would conclude the reports from staff.
Okay. You want to ask Mr. Housefield to make his report, please?
Certainly. And for anyone who is on the Zoom call, this is John Housefield. He is the village's planning consultant from House of Levine.
Okay. So again, John Housefield, Village's planning consultant. You should all have my memorandum in your packet dated May 25th. So real quickly for the record, the property is about 5 acres in size, takes up an entire village block. It's bound by Division, Berkshire, Lathrop, and Jackson, and it has about 370 feet of frontage on Division and Berkshire on the north and south. And it has about 600 feet of frontage on Lathrop and Jackson on the east and west side. So it's the entire campus. Right now, the campus is zoned PRI, which is public recreational institutional. It's a zoning district in the village that all the schools are zoned and a few other institutions. It is surrounded on all four sides, on the other sides of the streets I just mentioned that it's bound by, by R2 zoned single family detached residential homes all the way around it, with the exception of the north half of the block on Jackson. That half of the block on the east side of the street is zoned PRI as well. It's essentially an open space, and it has what looks like a single-family structure on it, but it is a River Forest Village-owned pump station and reservoir. The field gets used for soccer, and it looks like there's some garden plots on it or something as well, but it's on the edge of the residential neighborhood, but it's a PRI-zoned public facility across the street. So that's the only thing that surrounds this property. With regard to the relationship to the comprehensive plan, this application hits on several notes of the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan, this one and the previous one, really prioritize the quality of the institutions in River Forest, education being one of those types of institutions, and really prioritizes the reinvestment back into those institutions to make sure they stay top quality consistently to provide services, facilities, and support for the residents and visitors of River Forest and the students. So it meets several different components of the comprehensive plan. I just want to read a couple into the record that where it really hits the point. One says, it's anticipated that improvements to the school facilities will be made and needed as needed over time to continue to meet the educational needs of the community. This is in keeping with that. Maintaining the quality of schools within River Forest is of distinct importance and should always be a key focus of the community. The village should support the continued operation and improvement of both public and private schools within the village while ensuring that they do not negatively impact the residential neighborhood in which they are located. This is stated because every school in this village is surrounded by residential for the most part. There's a specific goal that states that in the village, we should maintain and enhance high quality River Forest public facilities, services, and infrastructure to foster a collaborative environment that supports cooperation with local taxing bodies, regional partners, adjacent municipalities, and in this case, other organizations. And then a specific objective to work collaboratively with education providers to maintain the high quality of public and private education within the Village of River Forest. And then to provide public and quasi-public uses to continue the high quality of facilities and services within the community. So it hits on all these points consistently. Further, the most recent comprehensive plan has several specific recommendations and objectives pertaining to more sustainable development and sustainable components of development. The applicant indicated that it has a green roof element on the one-story portion of the addition that is attainable and accessible from the second floor elevator outside of the addition. So it has a green roof element, which we support in the comprehensive plan, as well as some permeable pavers and other elements in the landscape portion of the new courtyard. From a zoning perspective, this has to be approved as a planned development because of the size of the property and the size of the development being proposed. So it has to be approved as a planned development in the PRI district. The use is consistent in the PRI district and every measurable zoning standard is met. They're not asking for a development allowance on anything. The height complies, the lot coverage complies, the set plaque complies, the floor area complies, the parking complies, everything meets the standards. The one that is probably the most necessary to address is height. Just for clarity purposes, the height of the three-story or elevator portion, the addition, the link is really two things. It's a one-story addition, which goes from the gymnasium or the athletic facility, tees into a three-story elevator addition on the side of the existing academic building. So it's sort of a two-part link. That three-story element exactly matches the roof of the existing academic building. It does not go any higher than that. And that's about 45 feet, 11 inches, and it's the same height. So no height waiver is needed. In the PRI district, it's a little bit more complicated to measure height. The height in the PRI district is 40 feet. Now, this is 45 feet, 11. It's 40 feet, but you get an additional foot of height for every 5 feet of setback beyond what's required from the adjacent residential districts. And because this is so far setback from the surrounding properties, they could go as high as 60 plus feet if they wanted to as of right. And they're only going to 45 feet, 11 inches. So they comply on everything in terms of zoning standards. For parking and circulation, they're not proposing to add or reduce any parking on the property, nor are they altering any traffic patterns, ingress or egress. The circular drop-off pick-off by the athletic facility on the north side of the building is still in place. I think it's actually now better with this proposal than it exists on the ground. And as indicated, mobility between the school buildings is improved because it's all interior now, better for students. The ADA accessibility from the parking lot grade up to the plaza grade is improved on the west side of the roundabout or the drop-off pickup, as well as now the ramp that exists on the north side of the plaza accessing the old facility, auditorium facility. So ADA accessibility is much better for students, for visitors, for guests, both within the structure, from the parking lot up into the plaza area and the entrance, and from the new plaza area to the old auditorium portion of the building. Access is still provided to the site, one driveway from Lathrop and two driveways off of Jackson. There is no driveway directly from Division on the south or Berkshire on the north. So no parking problems at all. In fact, on-site circulation for pedestrians is greatly enhanced. For the architecture and design of the building, the look of the building I think is appropriate. I had the same thing on my section 5 of my memorandum on page 4 that Mr. Crosby raised, the issue of the EIFS system or the exterior insulated finish system. And the reason I raise that is for consistency. The village has always deterred use of the EIFS system on buildings as a primary building material. It has been authorized or approved as part of some buildings, whether it's a commercial or mixed use, maybe the sign band that's up high above like a brick facade, the sign band area looks like stucco or stone, but it's actually an EIFS system, or maybe a dormer on a residential structure up above, because from grade when you're walking or driving by, it looks like stone or stucco. But the concern is the quality of the system. It's way better than it used to be 20 years ago when it was overly problematic across the country and EIFS was getting ripped out everywhere, which is why you see a lot of EIFS being deterred. But Mr. Crosby raised the point of concern, and that is one of durability. If you remember where the senior facility is now on Chicago and Harlem, that used to be the TCF Bank. And it sort of had that yellow stucco look, but that was the most beat up building in the world, because if you bump it with your car, if you hit it with a skateboard, if you hit it with it, just dents, chinks, falls apart. I mean, it's not a durable finish system. So in my memo, I recommended that not only that it visually matched the gymnasium concrete or precast, if it's not precast, it should match the material. Or something closer than the EIFS. The applicant has addressed why it's EIFS and not the concrete, but I would echo, dig a little bit deeper into that capital campaign fund, hit up that alumni one more time to get a system that's a bit more durable, because to go through what is otherwise, I think, a stunning proposal in visually and in terms of how it's laid out, EIFS systems, boy, one flying skateboard and it's going to look crummy. So that stuff just is simply not durable. So Mr. Crosby raised the point and the applicant addressed it as well. The green roof component, we don't have a lot of green roof systems in the village. We don't. We'd like to see more of them. It's a sustainable development practice and they propose it here. And what's nice about this green roof system, it's not just sustainably speaking a nice thing to have, but it is an engagement point for residents and students who can then go out on the second floor landing from the elevator addition and walk out onto the roof of the one-story link addition and enjoy kind of a nice civic outdoor space, which didn't exist before. So applaud the effort of a usable green roof system that somebody can actually enjoy, just not only Mother Earth. So that's good. This thing is tucked in a location that visually will have, as nice as it's going to look, virtually no visual impact on the surrounding properties. It's so tucked into that little corner by the athletic facility and the school property that it is almost going to be hard to see from driving by on the street. The nearest house that will have visibility to it on Jackson is more than 300 feet away. The nearest properties that have will next be able to see it, and that is going to be the properties on the northeast and northwest corners of Berkshire and Jackson. Those are 430 and 530 feet away. The next closest residential property is more than 600 feet away. That's two football field lengths away. And that's provided there's nobody parking the parking lot, the trees don't have any leaves on them, and there's nobody walking or driving around. You'd have to have that perfect alignment of scenarios to even see line of sight to this. So as attractive as it is, it will have virtually no visual impact, unfortunately, to the surrounding area because it's really nice. The landscaping improvements are really appropriate, not only the green roof components, which I've already addressed, but there are several different landscaping components, not only at the foundation or the base of the buildings, but at several locations within the courtyard itself, up against the foundation of the academic building, the foundation of the link, near the external area of the existing athletic facility, and there are three or four points landscaped areas within the pedestrian new courtyard that's being created. And this is a variety of trees, ground cover, grasses, shrubs, the appropriate mix of species, and really a nice landscape plan. So they really are creating, one of the best features about this isn't the link itself, but they're creating a sense of enclosure that's really attractive and protected for students and visitors into this new civic courtyard area. It's really quite nice. Signage for the area, there is a sign part of the courtyard that they're creating has a decorative wrought iron fence sitting on top of about a 1 foot, 8 inch seat wall, stone seat wall. And then there's a portion of the seat wall between the wrought iron fencing that comes up into about a 6 foot by 13 foot stone wall that serves as a backdrop to a Trinity sign. And it just has their logo or their crest and the word Trinity. Very tasteful, very simple. Again, they've not put any waivers for that, and they are currently applying and are going through the process of a signed permit with the village, correct? So that's all being taken care of and being permitted as following the signed permits for the village. So, again, nothing needed there. Lighting is pretty subdued. They're not proposing anything obstinate on the site or that would be aggressive or have any bleed over at the property line at all. They have some pedestrian-level bollard lighting in the courtyard, which really helps illuminate the courtyard at a pedestrian level and demarks a pedestrian area versus a vehicular area where the drop-off is nearby. So very tastefully done. That and the fact that there are sconce lighting by some of the entrances on the buildings itself. So tasteful lighting, both bollard lighting and sconce lighting, wall-mounted, but very attractive and won't do anything to adjacent properties, but will further augment sort of the appearance of the addition. So in conclusion, great addition to the facility. Really attractively done, really thoughtful design in terms of creating new space for students, not just connecting this interior space from one building to the other, but in doing so, creating a really nice exterior space and providing some sustainable elements the village has yet to see in most developments. The only one issue that I had raised was the one of the EFIS system, and I think if they can come back with something a little bit more robust in that first floor tactile area where they're likely to get dings, that would be a plus. But other than that, it's consistent with the plan and hits all the zoning marks and aesthetically is very well designed.
Any questions for Mr. Housefield?
Nope.
Thank you for making the application presentation.
You bet.
Okay. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address us who we haven't heard from before? Okay.
There is no one on Zoom either, and there was no one else who signed up in advance of the meeting to speak.
All right. So now what we do is we give the applicant another opportunity to address us. If there's anything that you have heard from any of the board members or Mr. Housefield, if you want to make an additional presentation, this is the time to do it. Okay, no? All right, so we're going to close the public portion of the hearing. And at this point, it's up to us as a board to discuss this, and we may ask questions. But at this point, it's our discussion as to how we want to recommend or put conditions on any recommendation for this application. Anybody got questions?
No questions.
Okay, so here we go. What's the cost of this project?
Can you come back up to the microphone, please?
Good old Terry.
Right. Well, I asked, what's the cost of this project?
All in cost will be $2.8 million.
And do you have the funds on hand to pay the $2.8 million?
Yes, we do.
Okay. When do you intend to begin construction?
The end of June, if possible.
And how long is this project going to take?
4.5 months.
And when does school start?
Starts in August. End of August.
Okay. So, you know, I lived across from Trinity for 36 years, and it seemed to me that except on the weekends, the parking lot was full, and Berkshire was parked up. Where are your construction people going to park once school has started?
Not all of our parking spaces are utilized, so there will be additional parking available. And do you have any other further?
We are working on the logistics of where everything will be for day one, and then also for when school is in session. At the time that school is in session, we will need a lot less area for construction vehicles. And so at that point, we are going to be working with Trinity on what areas we can actually take up to not be in their driveway, so they can get in and out. Emergency vehicles can still get in. There's no concerns. We're still working through exactly what that's going to look like at this time for August 20th, I think, or 18th for first day.
Because I think you have to be concerned about the neighbors and, you know, how the construction is going to impact the parking for the neighbors once school's back in session. We have no problems until August 20th or whatever the date school is. But after that, I think that there has to be some thought given as to how to protect the neighbors.
Right. Part of the logistic evaluation is the number of available spaces that will begin in the fall that are not used by students, faculty, or staff that could be allocated to the construction staff.
Okay. Talk to me about this green roof area for a minute. It sounds real good, but is it safe? I mean, are there going to be, is there a wall? Is there a railing? Is there, you haven't told us anything about it. So how are the students going to be protected when they get up on this green roof?
There is a railing that protects them. Also, just the green roof area is not necessarily accessible by the students. There's a paved area that the students are able to access that's within an enclosed railing space that's safe. And the green roof sits in front of the building. So when you visually see the building, that's what you see. And the students are kind of behind, I want to say about 2 to 3 feet behind that area. So in terms of safety and falling, they're far behind what the edge would be. And they're just experiencing it as a nice visual space to be in.
And our handrails are real tall.
42 inches, which is what ADA and code requires.
Yep. And there's security and accessibility that will be managed by faculty and staff to determine who can and cannot be out there supervised.
All right, so let's go back and address Mr. Crosby's point that John also talked about the EFAS material that's being proposed. Is there any reason that it doesn't sound like that's satisfactory. Is that fair?
I guess I also want to kind of the columns that you have, the fence that are part of the fence.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
What material is that?
Dad, those are cast-in-place concrete, so those are not EFAS material.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are going with cast concrete? And
mm-hmm.
The fence.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the issue is the longevity of the material, and aesthetically, it's a different material. Different materials are going to age differently. So, ideally, the best thing to do, and frankly, I think in the long term, it's a money saver where the maintenance on the special system can be, something you have to address. I get that it's going to be more expensive, but it's the right way to do it. But I do understand the budget constraints, but as far as communities involved, we want to see staying in the building, you know,
appreciate that. We have been exploring an alternative product, anticipating there might be some resistance to that system. And this is a product that is a limestone high-performance cladding, very much like the surface one would want to match a precast. It's a product called Thermochromax. We're in the middle of investigating it. I can't have a definitive answer for you yet. I don't know the exact cost impact, but it's supposed to be in alignment with the idea of an EFIS system. But I suspect it's probably more expensive. That we have yet to really determine.
And I think that when you say it's going to be more expensive, but it's not significantly more. There are precast concrete that I've specified that are using
Yeah, this isn't limestone per se officially, but it's something that's been assembled and clad in a in that manner, similar manner.
I have another question.
Marion,
that Frank touched on during the construction, and how many, you know, trucks or cars or, you know, I think, you know, to when you come back, you know, to let us know, you know, how that's going to affect the neighborhood, you know, how many parking spaces you have to allot to that, I think that would be helpful.
We could present a logistics plan, which is in progress now.
Just to be clear, so you're looking for, my voice projects, just to be clear, you're looking for a logistics plan for now and then at during school time, or are you just looking for currently what our logistics plan is going to be for where the construction is going to be staged?
I think
both.
Think,
okay.
Yeah.
We can provide them.
Yeah, I would hope that until school starts, all the construction and the parking is going to be staged in your parking lot.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be.
So
it'll be fenced in and secured so that no students, walkers, pedestrians, anyone can actually enter the construction area. It'll be secured every day.
The village has construction standards and condition permits as well, or The village has conditions that it places on all building permits that are issued, and so securing construction areas is included in those permit conditions.
All right, any other questions, comments? So what do we want to do? Are we concerned enough about the construction materials that we would ask the applicant to look at this again and come back at our next meeting?
I think that's I think we should do that.
Now, what's the price difference between precast and precast?
From precast to EFAS, it's going to be at least double the cost, if not more than double. To go to the precast to match.
So of the material, not the project, not the whole project.
Yeah, correct. Of the material.
So what kind of numbers are you talking
about? I would have to get back to you. I don't have that information.
And that's different from the other product that you have here that you're
still. Yeah, we saw the comments that were presented. That's why we. We're starting to look down different avenues,
right.
But originally had EFIS just because we are on a tight budget. We originally had a lot more glass that got reduced as well, so we're trying to look through it. I don't know the difference between the two.
What do you want us to do tonight?
Well, and let me just say, too, because I know they're concerned about timeline and trying to get construction started as quickly as possible. So let me just give you an idea of where we would go from here. So The next meeting of the DRB, the next regularly scheduled meeting, is June 17th. So we would need to make sure that everybody's available and we would have a quorum. The public hearing would be continued to June 17th if that's how we go. There is no board meeting before that time. So the earliest potential board approval, if there's a, well, the earliest I would say that a DRB recommendation would go to the Village Board of Trustees is June 28th, which is their next meeting. So that will happen regardless of whether the public hearing is concluded tonight and the DRB makes its recommendation tonight or June 17th. It doesn't change the timeline for board approval. So that is what I would anticipate. So I understand you're concerned about timing, and I can appreciate that, but whether the hearing is concluded tonight or continued for two more weeks is not going to impact that timeline.
But I think it makes sense for us to revisit it.
Right.
It doesn't affect the timeline.
Right.
Is everyone available June 17th?
Check real quick.
We have a quorum.
I'm available.
Yes. Yes, me too.
Okay. I can check with our other two members too and see if they're available that evening.
All right. So the things that it appears that we're going to continue this hearing. And the information that we are looking for is the building materials that Mr. Crosby and Mr. Housiel have addressed, the parking, you know, your plans for the parking, primarily after school starts, because for the next 6 or 8 weeks, whatever it is, you'll have plenty of room in there. Any other information that we're looking for?
I think that's it.
Okay. So does somebody want to make a motion to continue this hearing until June 17th?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right. Any discussion? Want to call the roll, please?
Sure. Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Ms. McColl?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. Okay. So we'll see you back here in 2 weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to resolve everything.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's nothing else on the agenda, so we have a motion to dismiss.
Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're dismissed. Thank you for coming.
Thanks,
everybody.